the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver a child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. I was struggling with this passage for a long time, because we hear this every year. And then I thought, you know, with all that is going on in the world today, with Aleppo and in Syria and in Iraq and in all the other places, in the world, it's kind of looked like in a mess. So maybe it is better to preach about the Prince of Peace. So I gave the title, the Prince of Peace. So after that, you know, I still struggled, and then I thought, you know, well, you know, Christmas is actually that people come to worship, to adore the child Jesus, and so this is God's gift to us. So at least, you know, for today, let us just thank God for this gift that God gave us, for his love. So I kind of thought of, you know, maybe writing a letter of thank you to God. So I write this: Dear God, this night we came to worship you. We came to celebrate your becoming one of us. We came to take a peek at the babe in the crib. We do so with grateful hearts. We often take your love for us for granted. Your love for us causes you to reveal yourself and allow us to locate you in time and space, in our history, in our midst. It is beyond us to fathom the depth of your love for us, to understand how much you care about each one of us. We realize that it is presumptuous on our part to search for you. You are the creator, we are the created. There is this great gap between who you are and who we are, and that make it impossible for us on our own to accurately conceive our Creator. How can our finite minds grasp the infinite? Our attempts at finding you through impressive reasoning, invigorating spiritual experiences, devout practices, and even deeply religious upbringing are futile. They only lead us to idols, images of gods who suit our needs, the golden calf. Great religions of the world offer to help us finite creatures climb up to or dig deep into finding you, the infinite. However, only Christianity admits that we, finite as we are, cannot find you, the infinite, on our own. Your love for us, despite our arrogance, despite our settling for golden calves, keeps pursuing us with passion and intensity. Knowing that we can never find you on our own, you have descended to our level. The infinite took the form of finite, and you, God, came to us as a vulnerable baby in a night like this one in our history some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. It means the divinity chose to enter humanity in all its fullness and foibles, in all its power and pain, in all its joys and sorrows. It means that the Endless One chose to be part of our limited history. It means your time, Kairos, intersects with human time, chronos. It means you love us and care for us. It means you are saying to us that we matter. We matter to you. Your determination to make yourself known to us in the flesh and blood of human bodies means that our bodies and our physical nature do really matter. It is as if you are saying to us, hey, you over there, you want an image of me, right? You want the secret of who I really am and what I'm up to? Don't try to make an image of me. I give you a true vision of myself. There you see in my son Jesus, born to Mary, a peasant girl from Palestine, when Augustus was the emperor of Rome and Quirinius was the governor of Syria. But then God, like Mary asked Gabriel, we ask you, how can this be? You are eternal, immortal, invisible, omnipresent, omniscient, and a whole lot of highfalutin things. And we are the exact opposite of that. How can such a God be like us? And why would such a powerful God to let go all that to become like one of us? But again and again you say, I do so because I love you. Imagine that. Well, God, we thank you for your love for us. But it continues to be hard for us to see all the trouble you went through to help us understand that you love us. See, your love for us made you born like any human beings, with Mary having full gestation period of pregnancy, an embarrassing one at that. And then you are born in Bethlehem, the hometown of Joseph, but homeless, bundled up in swaddling cloth and lay down in a feeding trough of an animal in a stable. Neither the emperor of Rome nor the governor of Syria or even a local king came to see you. Instead, your son was only visited by a bunch of much despised and smelly shepherds from the field at the urging of angels from heaven. The local despotic king Herod made it difficult for the visitors from the east to see you. And a few days after your birth, a lot of innocent children were massacred in a vain attempt to kill you. Your love for us made the holy family of Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus to suffer the indignities and difficulties of becoming refugees like millions of people today. Your love for us made baby to grow up and became Jesus, the wandering teacher, the healer, the disciple maker. In every way, Jesus, while he moved about on earth, was just like us. He was no disembodied spirit fluttering about human form. Your son Jesus was real. And he clearly cared about real people who were caught in real earthly human binds. Babies to be birthed, bills to be paid, supper to be prepared, and children to be raised. He gathered disciples and embraced the hungry. He healed the sick, cast out demons, and invited ordinary folk to walk with him. When people were hungry, he offered bread, and when wine ran out, you made more. Rather than providing people an escape route out of this world, you intruded into the full tragic human condition and modeling a new way of living in this world. In Jesus, we see you, the loving God, engaging with us in our daily earthly stuff of life, not as a distant landlord. Jesus fully embodied the message of your love in his life in this real world and thereby showed us that your kingdom was no dreamy fantasy, but a place to be lived in the here and now. God, we now understand what is meant by incarnation, what is meant by Christmas, what is meant by you taking on the flesh of human bodies. It means you are up close and personal. You love us enough to show yourself to us, to engage with us in what we are going through in the daily muck and mire of our existence. Loving God, we thank you that you love us and care for us, but help us understand that your love for us doesn't necessarily mean that we are going to be immune from illnesses, even the terminal ones, or immune from suffering, or homelessness, hardships, family breakup, or having to see loved ones suffering from addiction or dying of overdose. Lord, forgive us for doubting your love when we are facing difficulties or when we see the arc of moral universe taking longer to bend towards justice. Forgive us, God, for sometimes it makes us pause to understand your love as we see millions of people around the world are displaced and are in search of a place to live in peace, or as we see people homeless and hungry, even in a rich country like ours, or as we see people in our own town who are afraid as to what may happen to them when the new administration may come to power, whether they will be harassed, whether they will be bullied, deported, or asked to be registered, or even to be interned. Help us, O God, to understand that your love for us and the world is often carried out through us, through each one of us, and that we are to act as your hands and feet in this world. Help us, O God, to really behold that vulnerable baby in the crib and to experience your passionate love for us. And help us let down all our burdens, cares, and concerns, and fears at the foot of the cross, which is not far from the crib, and to be embraced by that love that hung on that cross with both hands stretched out. God's love manifested in the cross.